You met and you personally knew Dr. King. Can you just tell me what he was like and what are some of your fondest memories of him?
One of the most memorable was back in the same year as the March on Washington. I was in Atlanta with a friend who was getting married, and he had been in Martin Luther King's choir. And we were in Pascal's, which was the kind of the hub of activities in Atlanta, where all African-Americans used to go through there and stop by there at least once a day. So we were there at the restaurant for dinner. It was kind of early, about 5 o'clock. And Martin Luther King and Coretta came in for dinner. And he made his way to our table and stood there with no hurry and chit-chatted with us and told us something that he had found very interesting, that it just occurred. He had come down that morning from New York City. He was gone lots of weeks, but he was always home on the weekend to preach. And he mentioned that he was on the plane with Roy Wilkins, who was then the director of the NAACP, the national director of NAACP, and that he was teasing Roy Wilkins, that Roy Wilkins was on his way not to Atlanta, but all the way to Jackson, Mississippi, to visit some of his people down there. And Martin Luther King told us, I told Roy that if he went to Mississippi, the NAACP people over there, they march and demonstrate just like we do. And that if he went over there, he's going to have to march and demonstrate, and he probably would be arrested. Well, guess what? I just learned about an hour before I came in here. He had been arrested. And so I just remember that because he thought it was funny.
You've said history has whitewashed Dr. King's legacy. How so?
He's called a man pushing for peace. And he was the very opposite. He used to kind of talk against peace in one sense, because he used to argue that we're being asked, when are things going to be peaceful? When are we going to have some peace in the country? And he said, peace is not the absence of tension. Peace is the presence of justice. And until there's justice, there will be no peace. The implication of that is we're not going to let there be any peace. And in fact, that's where the term comes from, that you hear all the time now, no justice, no peace. So that's, to me, an example of what is misunderstood about King. And it kind of started with the March on Washington speech. I keep saying that I wish he had not added the I Have a Dream part to the speech, which was ad-libbed. It was something he had had in other speeches. And he was just moved to have this ad-lib part because people horn in on that. Saying you have to keep the dream alive suggests that Martin Luther King dreamed. And he told us about his dream, and therefore we need to keep it alive. That was definitely not Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was an activist. Nonviolent, yes. But he was an aggressive, nonviolent activist, not a dreamer. The dream was kind of the result of all this action. But people then translated that into Martin Luther King just being this person who talked about peace. For example, if you ask young elementary school kids, you ever heard of Martin Luther King? Yes. Some will say, well, what do you know about him? Well, he was a man who brought peace between the races. He worked for peace between the races. That is a mischaracterization of that man.
How do you think Dr. King would feel about today's society?
Oh, he would probably die of a heart attack. He'd be surprised that on many of the things he was most concerned about, we are no better and in some instances worse. For example, the Poor People's Campaign, which he was involved in at the time of his death. At that time, between 15 and 16% of all children were in poverty in this country. It's higher than that now. And it's been higher than that for a long time. And people are not upset or excited about it. Whereas he said, during that period between December of 1967 and March of 1968, that he was willing to die for this cause, that we had to be concerned about it. So he would be very, very concerned about that. And he would be concerned about other things. One of his other issues was demilitarism. He would be shocked at the things that we've done in this country since, say, in the last 15 years. Invading a country that was not involved at all in 9/11. And the fact that we have this continuing war in Afghanistan with no end and all of that, he would have been arguing for peace there, okay, as he argued for peace in Vietnam.
Do you think there's anything that he would be positive about, anything that he's happy with in today's society?
I think, as most people, he would be pleased with the fact that the country elected an African-American as president. I think he would be displeased at how little he did for racial issues, but that's another question.
looking back on his life and his legacy, what do you think is the most important thing that we should remember about his life?
That he was willing to give his life to make things better for Americans who needed things to be better, like the poor. I was at his church, same year as the March on Washington, where he preached a sermon I call, I Have a Hope Sermon. I don't know what he called it. That's what I call it. In which he said it was unlikely he was going to live much longer. But he had a hope that we would continue his work. We haven't.